Thank you, Sir Peter. I am honored to take part in the World Science Forum. You are a very distinguished collection of people, and I thank you for allowing me to take part. I have lived in really three worlds, the science world, the political world, and the science advice world at various times in my career. And so as I said to Sir Peter, maybe I've lost respect in all three. But earlier this year, I stepped aside from the U.S. Congress, and so I think that is why he has put me on this part of the panel. So in January, I went from who's who to who's that. And my colleague said, you will know you are no longer in Congress when you get in the back seat of a car and it goes nowhere. I would like to speak to those who need to give or want to give science policy advice. I am speaking to the scientists who want to give that advice, independent of whatever system the country has for advice. We scientists know that science advice is valuable because it is based in evidence. That science policymakers, however, often do not understand or share that view. They live in a world of opinion and ideology, not evidence. That is what we must keep in mind. We seek to have decisions based on evidence. Now, when I was in the Congress, I did not take a seat on the Science Committee. It was because I believed that the greatest need for scientific perspective is in all of those areas where science is embedded and not obvious in the issues. In other words, all of those issues that the politicians think are not science issues. And I still believe that is where the greatest need for the scientific perspective exists. Policymakers not only do not think of science frequently, and not crave the advice of scientists, they do not even know what to ask. For scientists, I think the great need is not to say what science dictates for policy, not to condense or simplify the science, for several reasons. You will not be successful in explaining science simply enough. Secondly, you will not be present to cover all of the instances when science and the evidence should be considered. You will simply not be on hand. But most important, if you seek to say what science dictates, you will not be heard. As I sat here, I realized that I am violating my central principle that I'm outlining this morning. Do not attempt to give science advice from above. Still. Policymakers understand that science advice is not a substitute for politics. And anyone who does not understand that will be ignored or dismissed, however clear you are in your speaking, however clear and simple you make the science. Also, I would say the first lesson of teaching is it is not what you tell or teach that counts, it is what the student learns that counts. And so the lesson that is often communicated by scientists giving advice is, I am a scientist and you are not. I understand the secrets of nature and you do not. Well, that gets you off on the wrong foot. Science brings knowledge and understanding because it is based on evidence. And that is what you should be communicating, not the facts of the science, not your authority. You know, credibility means nothing without trust, as Director General Sucha said earlier. The advisor's first job is to help the policymaker understand not the details of the science, but rather to understand the source of science's enabling power, what we were talking about in this conference, in this forum. The source of that enabling power is evidence, openly evaluated, openly communicated, openly checked. So, allow me to emphasize. The major thing, perhaps the only thing, that a scientist has to give the policymaker is reverence for evidence and the confidence to deal with that evidence for herself or himself. Do not seek to do the job of the politician or the policymaker. Again, I quote Minister Pandor and Director General Sucha. If you can give them the confidence to deal with the evidence and the reverence for evidence, you are doing the best job you can. Without that, nothing you say or write will make a bit of difference. Thank you.